now grizzled veterans of 2 weeks of Bible school, got the bell systems down pat, got everybody's names down pat, sat through lots and lots of messages, and then got to sit through another one. Bible school is a kind of a unique experience in that you have this very insular coexistence with people that many of them you've never met before, and now you share a lot of these same memories, and there other people in many ways are your memory banks. You store information in your friends and in your family, and this group right here is going to be the only people that you're going to store these memories with. So when you meet up with each other in 25 years, you'll be just like I am with Bible school friends of mine when I meet up with them now. There's an instant connection because you recognize in them some shared memories that only this group has. So this is a great special time, and I hope that the remainder of it is really what goes really well for you. I'm going to talk about faith and reason this morning. And what got me thinking about this is I read a book here a while back called Veritas, and it was about Harvard University. And Harvard University was trying to decide what their curriculum should be, what their syllabus should be going forward. And somebody suggested a class on faith and reason. And the professors voted it down because they said, those are diametrically opposed. You can't have faith and reason. This is a contradiction. These things don't work together. And Harvard is a school that's based on reason. We can't have this idea of faith floating around here. That's not scientific. It's interesting to me. The reason the book was called Veritas is that's Harvard's motto. It means truth. Well, in looking up elsewhere, it's a truncated version of what was their motto. It used to be, I don't remember the whole Latin term, but it was truth in Christ in the church. Well, they've dropped the Christ in the church, and with that, they've dropped faith, and now they're just truth, and they assume that's reason. Well, they said faith has no place in a thinking society, and that's what they're trying to create, is a thinking society. They said faith has no place in a prestigious institute of higher learning. So, is that true? Is faith, as is often said, blind? Does reason occupy a higher thought process than faith? Is one of these more important or better than another? A simplistic definition of faith is that it's known, at least, as the mental process that believes something without experiencing it, or maybe before experiencing it. And reason is known as the mental process that looks at the evidence and then makes a decision. That's, like I said, a simplistic answer. I think it's helpful to remember that Christian faith is not simply an academic exercise. It's not in an idea. It's in a person. It's in God himself. And we can look at that at examples in the Bible. One thing that Dalton has been driving home in the Bible and science class is we can trust the Bible. And so I'd like to look at Genesis 22. I'm not going to read this account because it's pretty long, but it's about the faith of Abraham when he went out to sacrifice Isaac. Was human sacrifice, was that a reasonable request from God? Did that make any sense? That he was actually going to ask for human sacrifice? I mean, that's, again, everything that we know about God leading up to that point says that was not reasonable. But here, that's what he was asking of Abraham. Why did Abraham go forward with this unreasonable request? What was the faith that he had that made this request, you know, that he could even take steps in that direction? Well, if you think about it, Abraham and God had been through a lot together by this point. Abraham had been uprooted from his familiar place, his home, sent somewhere else. His name had been changed. He'd been through battles. He'd been recognized by kings, by the priest Melchizedek. He'd been through the destruction of Sodom. He'd been through the whole deal with Hagar and Ishmael. And he'd been through the birth of his son Isaac, who was the son of a very long promise. So by this point, Abraham had a lot of opportunities to test his faith in God, or for God to test Abraham's faith in God. And I think that as Abraham moved into this, he knew that he could trust God. He didn't understand it fully, but his faith wasn't in an idea. His faith was in God, and he knew, because of his prior experiences, that God wouldn't ask him to do something that was against his very nature. I think that there's a key in that for us as we think about our faith. Think about your friends that you have. If a friend asks you to do something that seems a little bit difficult, are you more likely to do it for them than for a complete stranger? Well, sure you are, because you trust them. They've given you prior reason to think that what they say is going to be okay. And that's the way Abraham was with God. And so Abraham had reason to think that God would take care of the situation. And in the end, God wasn't asking for human sacrifice, was he? And all that Abraham knew about God must have told him that, but yet he was still willing to take steps in that direction and to do something that looked unreasonable because of his faith. And it's again because his faith was not in an idea, but his faith was in the person of God. It's interesting to note that in Hebrews 11, Abraham is commended for his faith in simply following God, leaving his home. That must have felt like an unreasonable and irrational thing to do. It says there in Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. What would you think if your parents would come home one day and say, you know what, we're going to go on a trip. Let's start packing. You say, where are we going to go? We don't know, but just start packing. Well, what should I pack? I mean, should I pack flip-flops for Florida, or should I pack puffy jackets for Wisconsin? I said, you know what, just pack everything. Dressers and clothes and the dog and everything. Just pack it all up. We're going to rent a couple U-Hauls, and we're just going to start driving. I said, what on earth? I have no idea where we're going to go, but we're just going to drive, and eventually we'll stop, and that'll be our home. I said, No. I'm not leaving all my friends and everything I know to go puttering around the country in a U-Haul just to figure out what? Well, that's what God asked Abraham to do, and Abraham did it. Now, again, God had a reason, and Abraham's relationship with God understood there was a reason, so his faith was based in God, not simply in an idea. And then later in Hebrews 11, Abraham's faith in the face of being asked to sacrifice a son is brought up. And it says there, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So clearly what we see as something that looked impossible felt that same way to the writer of Hebrews, because he said, this is amazing that Abraham had this kind of faith, that he was willing to do something that looks so unreasonable. But in the New Testament, we also see examples of faith. In Galatians 2, verses 16 through 20, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's just a few verses, but what engages me here is the reasons that are given for faith. And when I think of that, reasons for faith, we see that in many other places in the Bible. We see that in this example of Abraham, that there's arguments given that engage our reason that say, faith makes sense. And when I think of Paul, his faith was unique. He had a conversion experience that was very attention-getting. And he seems to have always kept that very vividly in his memory. And Paul had faith, and he continued to preach faith. It's interesting to me, this one example here in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, this is talking about something that Paul was praying for. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me." So Paul was saying that I was praying that this thing would change, and it didn't change. But it's okay, because I still have my faith in God. The reason I think that that faith is so unique is because we have accounts of Paul healing others in very miraculous ways. In Acts 19, verses 11 and 12, says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases parted from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Simply by sending somebody a handkerchief, they'd get better. How convenient would that be in Bible school? Well, here was Paul with this miraculous gift that God gave him of healing others, but he couldn't heal this thing himself. What faith did Paul have in order to say that God has a reason for this, and I can still see him through that? And again, it's that Paul understood that his faith was in God. It wasn't in works, it wasn't in healing, it wasn't in an idea, it wasn't in miracles. And then Paul used reason to show others the benefits of faith in Christ. And he used his own faith to sustain himself when life didn't really make sense, when it was difficult, when he wasn't able to understand everything that was going on. He used his prior experiences with God that showed him that faith in God wasn't a reasonable thing to do. But does God ever engage our reason? Well, yes, I believe God does engage our reason. He gave us minds. He intends for us to use them. And a simple study through the Bible of prophecy, the study of types, Old Testament law, shows that God was setting a framework that he was expecting his people to read and connect the dots to lead forward to Christ. He didn't just say, okay, now, I really want to make sure you understand this, so this is what's going to happen, and this is why. No, he just simply gave them a bunch of clues that he expected them to be able to decipher. He said, if you dig, if you think, if you study, you'll figure this out. And I think that's how God works in us still. He says, if you search for me, if you invest in a relationship with me, you may not see the complete picture, but you'll figure it out. You'll understand the times that I'm working, even when it doesn't always look like it. And if it doesn't look like it in the way that you think it should. Reason, I think, brings us to faith, which then brings us to salvation. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." God gives us both the gift of faith and the gift of salvation. Because as humans, we tend to more readily believe the things that we can experience. It's easy for me to look out here and say, you know, I see you. So I know there's people out here. During the pandemic, when churches were closed down and some places had to, maybe there were the speaker would go and it would be live streamed but there was nobody sitting, you know, sitting on the benches, or maybe just a few people. He had to take for granted that people were, you know, were actually viewing it. He couldn't tell. He couldn't see. But he had a reasonable expectation that they were, because most of the time, you know, he would have seen them here. And I think that's the way it is with God. We can see God working in small ways sometimes, and we need to use those as confirmations of our faith so then we can see him working in more difficult times. So some questions to ask ourselves. What is my story of faith? What are my reasons for faith? Do I have my faith in an idea, or do I have my faith in Christ? Because I believe that God calls us to a reasonable faith. Jesus showed by his acts that believing in him was a reasonable thing to do. His miracles proved his claim to be the Messiah. His teaching proved his transcendence of earthly thought patterns and human impulses. His death and resurrection proved to his disciples that he was God, that he was divine, that he was worthy of following to the death. And that's what they said. Later on, when they were being persecuted and killed in Acts, they said, "We're witnesses of these things. We saw Jesus doing these things. You can't tell us that he wasn't the Son of God. We saw it." And God can give those same confirmations of faith to us today. So how does Jesus show his reasonableness to you? What are things that God has done for you this term of Bible school that give you reason to continue to put your faith in him? We want to think the best of people that we love, so we have faith in them even when they might do something we don't understand, or they might ask something that's difficult of us. I used to work more closely with my brothers, like actually on a crew working. And there was one time that we were doing a job, and I don't remember exactly what happened. All I remember is there was a deep hole that something fell down into, and we couldn't reach it, and it wasn't very big, so you couldn't crawl down into it except with, you know, you couldn't, like, you know, move your arms. So they took hold of my ankles and lowered me down in there, my arms outstretched to grab this thing, and then they pulled me back out again. I would not have let a stranger do that to me. All I would have had to do is, you know, let go of my ankles and slip down in there, and that would have been terrible. But I trusted my brothers, and they didn't let down my trust. We put faith in people that we love, and the same is true of God. We can put our faith in him. If you invest your time in building that relationship with God, then you will be able to trust him and have faith when you don't always understand what he's doing. The Bible stands up to scrutiny. If it's a fact that if we follow the doctrines of the Bible, they will work. It is a fact that if you do the things that Jesus asks of you in the Sermon on the Mount, you will be a blessed person. Because they simply work. If you treat someone the way you want to be treated, you're going to have a friend. 9 times out of 10, at least. And so the Bible stands up to scrutiny. Archaeological evidence supports stories in the Bible, supports the doctrines in the Bible. It's ironic to me that some of these Harvard professors decry faith as being unthinking, and as being the Christians as being the ones who have this unreasonable faith, when they support there was a discovery made in Siberia, in a cave in Siberia, of a bone. One entire bone. It wasn't a very big one. And from that bone, there was a grand theory made about an entirely, it was a different, slightly different shape and slightly smaller than other similar looking bones that had been found in other places. And so from that one bone, a theory was created and propagated and believed that there was an entirely different race of people that had never been discovered before. And they built this whole grand big theory off of this one bone, which was later proved to be, I forget what kind of animal, I think it was a wild boar, but I don't remember for sure. But it was some kind of animal bone. And this whole theory came tumbling down. And they're telling me that my faith is unreasonable? I'd find that very ironic. In John 10, 22, we have an account of Jesus here. It says that it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not, that the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And it seems like Jesus is saying that he's given plenty of reasons to believe. But those that are turned against God won't see those reasons. They're not looking for them. But those that are turned towards God will see those reasons. And they'll follow and they'll understand. And faith will continue to build and faith will continue to follow. Faith is also, I believe, a muscle. God doesn't give us a finite amount of faith that if we use it up, we're not going to have any more. As you exercise faith, as you follow God into things that don't seem like they make sense, God builds your faith. Because every single time God comes through, you can absolutely trust God every single time. And I think that we can be kind of like those people sometimes. If we're turned towards ourselves, we'll miss the reasons. If we're simply depending on our brains, we'll miss the reasons that God gives for faith. And we will see and experience only the empty naivete that the Harvard professors feared. And that has to be a very sad, lonely place that has no hope. But if we're turned towards God, then I think we will see and we'll find and we'll experience reasons for a reasonable faith. Our faith is in God, not in an idea. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if you look at the rest of that psalm, it's proclaiming faith in God, not in our circumstances. And maybe trust is a good word to use, because trust is faith with good reason. And that, I believe, is what we have in God, a reasonable faith, trust that is built, trust being a faith that is built with good reason. So God bless you guys the rest of your term in Bible school. Invest your time here in learning all you can, in building good friendships with people. These friendships will be able to sustain you through your life. And spend time in investing in your studies. Your teachers aren't going to be able to teach you everything about the subject that you're in, whatever class it is that you're taking. Use these beginnings as a springboard to carry out your own studies, and you'll be tremendously blessed. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, bring to you this group of students and teachers and staff this morning. I pray that you would just bless them today. I pray that you would help them as they go through classes, that they would continue to turn towards you. I pray that you would grant them experiences that would build their faith in you. I pray that you would be with those that are sick, that they'd get to feeling better. I pray that you'd be with their families at home, that you would help them as they're maybe filling in for ones that are gone. And I pray that you would just be with Bible school as a whole, that this would be an experience in a time that would build your kingdom and make a difference in eternity. Help us all, Lord, to be lights for you wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.